Of WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The desert is finally drying out and access roads are open, which means people are now starting to leave Burning Man. Thousands got stuck there this weekend after a rare rainstorm turned miles of sand into mud that really felt like clay.
Some people have been doing this for 20 years, and we've never seen anything like this.
The festival's big finale, where they burn a 40-foot effigy, was postponed to later tonight. Elsewhere across the country, the brutal heat is back, with Weather Channel meteorologist Jordan Steele is tracking conditions.
We're talking 167 million above 90 degrees today. Tomorrow's no picnic either. I think the record potential will be from the Great Lakes to the Plains, also the Mid-Atlantic up to New York City.
Some cities could break heat records today. It is Labor Day, and workers everywhere are celebrating.
I'm Bruce Marcus in Milwaukee, where every Labor Day, unions march through the downtown in a show of solidarity.
It's huge for us, because if it wasn't for the unions, we wouldn't be where we're at today.
I love it. My husband's a steam fitter, and we come every year, march in the parade.
It's a great day to celebrate skilled trades and all the working people in America.
Bruce Marcus for CBS News, Milwaukee.
Law enforcement still fanned out across parts of Pennsylvania searching for a convicted killer who broke out of prison last week. Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens says they are closing in on Danilo Cavalcante near Pocopson Township.
There have been four sightings within that boundary. The most recent credible sighting occurred yesterday afternoon, also within that border area.
This guy is considered extremely dangerous.
Dragon splashed down, you're in water refining.
Four astronauts, including two NASA astronauts, are back on Earth after a six-month stay at the International Space Station. Their SpaceX capsule splashed down the Atlantic overnight off the Florida coast. They said they were looking forward to hot showers and steaming coffee the most. Hey now, you're an all-star. Former Smash Mouth lead singer Steve Harwell has died of acute liver failure at 56. The band's manager announced just yesterday that he'd been moved to hospice care. Harwell had retired from the band back in 2021 for health reasons. He had also suffered from cardiomyopathy.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville
in Palm Springs, California is still mourning the death of Jimmy Buffett and has lowered its flags and all of its tiny umbrellas to half staff. Buffett was known as the mayor there. Thousands of parrot heads also honored him yesterday in Key West. He died of skin cancer at 76. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire has been named one of the most LGBTQ+ friendly campuses in the United States for the sixth year in a row, according to a Campus Pride ranking. The university received 5 out of 5 stars in the ranking, making it one of only 34-year campuses to achieve the top score on the index. Callie Freed, director of the university's Gender and Sexuality Resource Center, told WEAU that 20% of the student population self-identified as LGBTQ+. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is urging all residents to practice safe boating if they're going to spend the Labor Day heat wave on the lake. The DNR reported there have been 13 boating-related deaths in Wisconsin this year, 12 of which occurred because a boater wasn't wearing a life jacket. The Department of Natural Resources also wants to remind people to stay hydrated, especially during the hottest parts of the day during the heat wave. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. Pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And I want to say at the outset, we're going to have an exciting lineup jiggle tomorrow. My good friend Todd Albo, a great host who precedes this show, tomorrow is going to also fill in for my hour from 3 to 4, and then I'm going to fill in from 4 to 6 for Devil's Advocates, for Diamond Crude, who are taking a well-deserved education. So tomorrow, when you tune in, Todd Albo will be on from 3 to 4 in addition to his regular show. In other words, 1 to 4 he'll be on, and then Matt Flynn direct, well, Devil's Advocate with Matt Flynn as the host will be on from 4 to 6. Well, let's get right to a lot of developments. You'd think that it'd slow down a little bit before Labor Day weekend. Well, it's not slowing down before Labor Day weekend. Today, the White House had to ask Congress to pass a spending bill to avert a shutdown of the U.S. government on October 1. Now, that's very sad. Think about that. Today is August 31. In 30 days, 1 month, any of the appropriations funding the government disappear, the ones that are needed to keep it going. 30 days. And where's the Congress? They're on vacation. They're back in their home states. They say, well, we need to get in touch with our constituents. That's fine. That's fine. But the government is going to run out of money at 5 p.m. on September 30. What have you guys been doing? Well, I'll tell you what they haven't been doing. And this is entirely attributable to the Republican Party. I'm not saying this in a partisan way. I'm saying this is a plain statement of fact. It takes 12 appropriation bills to keep the government going. Guess how many they've passed already? One. They've passed one. You need 11 more appropriation bills by September 30, 5 p.m., and the Republicans and the Democrats and the whole Congress are gone. They'll be gone till after Labor Day weekend. So then they'll end up having about 3.5 weeks to do it, and they haven't been able to do it for a year. This is something that has been forced on the country whenever the Republicans are out of power in one chamber or get in power and want to beat up on a Democratic president. When Trump was president and when the Republicans had the House and the Senate, the Democrats cooperated in funding the government. We had significant issues with them, but we didn't hold it up. But in this particular case, because Biden is in the White House and because the Democrats have a one-seat majority in the Senate, the Freedom Caucus and, frankly, Kevin McCarthy are holding up funding the government and threatening a shutdown. And they've done this before. Ted Cruz organized a shutdown about 12 years ago. It went on for about a month and a half, and it cost us $25 billion. $25 billion in greater interest on the national debt and a lot of other things. So what's the solution? What Joe Biden has suggested is, he said, look, I know that you're fighting about stuff. Pass what's called the continuing resolution, a CR. And you can pass it for as long as you want to. Continuing resolution is the Congress all agrees that will keep the government open, keep the government open at the levels that it's been open up till now, and we'll talk about cuts or inflation extensions and all of that in due course. Well, in the past, they have passed continuing resolutions, the Republicans, only for things like a month, 3 weeks. How do you you wouldn't run any company, even a small company in this country, that way, with no budget, continuing resolutions. Well, in any event, the idea would be, let's do a continuing resolution till after Christmas. Let's do it till January, February. In the meantime, talk about our policy differences. Here's the problem. There's a very, very slim Republican majority in the House. They have something like a five-seat majority. They have about 223 votes. We have about 212, 213 votes, the Democrats. Remember, there are 435 seats in the House, and some seats, someone dies, someone retires, and something is in flux. So, but the exact margin that they have is about five seats. They can't afford to give up more than five votes. But how many people do you think it was that stopped Kevin McCarthy from being speaker for 15 ballots? It's a lot more than five of them. There's at least a dozen of them or more, and there's about 30 of them who threaten and continue to attack, frankly, anything that Joe Biden does. Here's the problem, and here's the solution. The problem is you have a handful of bomb throwers. You have Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene. You have Lauren Boebert. You have Paul Gosar of Arizona, Andy Biggs. You have Mo Brooks, all of these people. Some of them, believe it or not, have said, we want to shut the government down to teach Biden a lesson. No matter what, they will not vote for any continuing resolution or any budget or any extension of anything. They're nihilists. They're destructive. They're not operated in the best interest of the United States or America. They don't care about America. So how many votes can Kevin McCarthy get to pass a continuing resolution to do the obvious, keep the government open on the same basis it has been while they talk cuts and we talk inflation adjustments? Should be no problem. Well, it is a problem because the Freedom Caucus has come in and they go, we need a couple of things. We will vote for a continuing resolution if A, Joe Biden cooperates in our investigation of him and that we bring impeachment proceedings. B, that the deal that we reached a few months ago on the debt limit extension, remember that, is undone and we fund the government at a far lower level than we agreed to in that deal. Now, you don't have to be a lawyer to say, now, wait a minute. These are two separate things. The government has to stay open. You have to pay our troops. You have to pay Social Security. You have to pay people who work on the Hill, secretaries and so forth. You have to pay U.S. attorney's offices. You have to pay a lot of things. And they go, well, now we have you where we want you, and we are not going to do that unless you agree, Biden, to cooperate in your own impeachment investigation, and unless you agree to kick over the deal that McCarthy made a few months ago. You can't agree to that. You can't agree to blackmail. You can't agree to Putin saying, I will bomb Ukraine unless you give me Kyiv. You can't agree to that. At some point, you have to stand up. And this is certainly a time to stand up. So what's the solution? The solution is called a discharge petition. And it's largely, frankly, I shouldn't say largely, it's in significant part to basically save Kevin McCarthy's worthless hide. And it would be this. You go to Kevin, the House minority goes to Kevin and say, look, how many votes can you come up with? And he goes, well, I can come up with maybe 195 or 200. And you say, Hakeem Jeffries, whoever it is that's designated to say it, we'll come up with Democrats to make up the difference, and we'll have basically a bipartisan coalition setting up a continuing resolution. Well, the problem for Kevin McCarthy is if he does that, Boehner did that. Paul Ryan did that. Boehner did it when Southern, the MAGA types, they weren't MAGA types back then, wouldn't vote for disaster relief for Hurricane Sandy because it would have benefited New York and New Jersey, although they voted for it. And all the Democrats did, too, for Louisiana and Texas disasters. But it's, they squeezed Boehner basically out of the speakership, and they ended up squeezing Paul Ryan out of the speakership. If Kevin McCarthy did that, if he did that, the caucus could get together, and any one of them could call a vote on the speaker, and he could lose the speakership. So he's not going to do that. So what is my solution to it? And it's actually very simple. In this thing called a discharge petition, even the minority can force something to be voted on the floor. What most people don't understand is nothing goes to the floor. Nothing can be voted on unless Kevin McCarthy says so, and he's chicken to do it with a continuing resolution because he'd lose the speakership. So what should happen is Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats would go, we propose a discharge petition, which it would be nice to have Republicans on board, but we don't need them to get them to vote on the floor. In other words, a discharge petition permits the minority without Kevin McCarthy's permission to have it voted on. So it's out on the floor. We have 213 votes. We need five more. A lot of Republicans will be scared to vote on it because Trump will attack them. The Freedom Caucus will attack him. All the crazies will attack him. But here's the arithmetic. Are there five Republicans in the country to get us from 213 to 218 who can say whatever they want? They can say, I'm a conservative. I don't like Biden. I don't care what they say. But they say, we're patriots. Hopefully, they're five veterans. They say, we're patriots. We are going to vote for money to keep the government open. And who are they? You know something? There's nobody from Wisconsin. I'm disgusted with the Republican delegation in this state. There've got to be five in New York and California. They're not going to, you know, they can say we don't want the Freedom Caucus on us. They ain't getting reelected if they shut the government down. So stand by. This is a very, very serious issue. We talk a lot about Trump and all this. This is where the rubber hits the road. We got to pay attention to this. We're going forward. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record is would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For the rest of today, sunny and hot with temperatures in the upper 90s. For tonight, mostly clear with a low around 76. A few showers and thunderstorms possible Tuesday into Tuesday night after a high near 94 on your Tuesday. For Wednesday, showers and storms, cooler 67.
Right now, 96 degrees.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for all of the information. It's very, very frustrating to see this happening in our country and in our state. I mean, these people really are not there to work for the American people. I still swear that we're being attacked from the inside out. These people don't work for America. They're just taking up space and wasting taxpayer money and worrying about their leader, Trump. The thing that really makes me sick, though, is as I watch and record, because I pay attention to what's going on in our country, around our country and the world, and we're in a whole bit of hurt here with all of the climate change-related disasters that are going on in our country as we speak. Now, these lazy son-of-a-guns who shouldn't be there, they should be locked out of the Capitol, never allowed to return, trying to overturn our votes and all the crap they pulled on the United States. Now they don't want to pay the bills or help the people in their Republican states that are suffering right now, that are being flooded out. I mean, it's just sick, Matt. These people are sick, and those people that continue to support these Republicans, not the Republicans I know of, but the new Republican fascist group that don't give one iota about anybody, and those people that they proclaim their religious values. Well, these people aren't religious, and you better go back to church and look in your Bible and see what God really wants. So, anyway, Matt, I'm on a roll today.
That's good.
I just can't believe it. You take care, and thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and before we go to the next caller, I'm going to back up what you just said. You're not going to believe this. Just now, DeSantis in Florida has turned down about $300 million in federal money they're entitled to for climate change, saying, well, I don't believe in climate change, and so I'm not taking the $300 million. You know, the only worst guy was Scott Walker. He turned down $1 billion with a B for Medicaid in this state, and he turned down almost $1 billion for trains. Remember that? And he turned down $50,000 for broadband. These people who say they're conservatives are turning down money that is their rightful money to help their state. And the biggest dumb cuff of all, frankly, was Scott Walker, because when he turned down the $1 billion for Medicaid, he then billed the Wisconsin taxpayers and took their taxes to pay for a big chunk of what the federal government would have already. He did that. Go to the line. Steve in Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Steve?
All right, Jeannie, I like her spunk.
And Matt, I got a question for you. What's this horse manure I hear about Josh Call not even being able to prosecute fake electors because of the Wisconsin law that they have to be in the county that it happened in or something like that? You know anything about that?
No, yeah. And that sounds to me like a rumor. Josh is a smart guy. I know he's not saying that kind of stuff. Fannie Willis is going after 19 people, and some of them have never had anything to do with Georgia, and she's only a DA in Fulton County. Josh Call could prosecute the fake electors. Frankly, so could the DA of Dane County. But I'm sure he's a fine fellow. Never met him, but I've never heard him mention the same name as Fannie Willis. But no, I mean, the thing is, the Attorney General of Michigan is prosecuting the fake electors. Jack Smith is prosecuting the scheme that involved the fake electors, and Fannie Willis is prosecuting state electors. There's no reason in this state. The state electors met in Madison. They met in Madison, and they did it sneakily and in secret. They kept it quiet. They said, don't tell the press. They didn't list it as something that was meeting and all that. And Ron Johnson had the fake electors for Michigan, and now, according to paragraph 101 of the federal indictment, he had him for Wisconsin, too. And he tried to get him to Pence. That's a criminal offense. Cheesebro is up there right now. Eastman is up there right now for orchestrating that. Johnson was part of it. Voss was part of it by arranging the meeting. What are we waiting for? Call Josh's office, say, Josh, prosecute these people. Stephanie of Madison, my friend, thank you for calling. What's your mind today, Stephanie?
Oh, hey, here's what's on my mind. I am so frustrated because I really, really, really would love to know how in the hell we need a massive education, public education campaign. I feel like I'm talking about a pipe dream, but we've somehow got to get the populace of this country to really understand. I think a lot of people, they're beginning to, and I think there are people who are having buyer's remorse, but they're so, you know, some of the conservatives are so married to their principles, to quote unquote, that they're afraid to let go. But this is so destructive. And if these people are allowed to just do this destruction, I mean, you know, talk about taxpayer money waste. God, it's horrible. Anyway, I got to go. I'm going to take a breath.
I'm going to respond to you now. And then there are other line. There are other people in the lines. Do not hang up. We have a very short break, and I'm going to get back to you right after the break. To Stephanie, I'll just say, I've known conservatives in my life. I've never known a conservative who thought about it for a second, who would say, I think that DeSantis should turn down $300 million because he doesn't recognize climate change. Is he taking a look at what's happening in his state, for Pete's sake? There's no conservative I know that said Scott Walker should turn down $1 billion for Medicaid, $1 billion for trains, $50,000 for broadband, because it's coming from the federal government, and he thinks that Wisconsin taxpayers should be double billed for it, because they also pay federal taxes. This is sick. This is insane. Shutting down the government is insane. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll get back to you right after the break. Do not hang up.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Thousands of people will now have to wait in long caravans for hours to finally leave Burning Man, where they've been stranded all weekend thanks to storms. Festival goers say the only way out of the giant mud field until now was walking.
Not only is it really sloppy and messy and slippery and you can't drive through it and barely walk through it, but also it can create chemical burns. So you have to have real protection for your feet.
The desert got 2 months of rain in 2 days. Intense heat's back in the forecast across the Great Lakes, Plains, and Mid-Atlantic. Weather Channel meteorologist Alex Wallace.
Be a lot of folks having to deal with high temperatures above 90 degrees. Today, that's including us in Minneapolis. We're approaching 100.
In Milwaukee, people are celebrating Labor Day and the rights and affiliations we're lucky to have.
It's what got you Social Security. It's what got you health care. We fought for all those things.
President Biden rallied workers in Philly today. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Horseshoe Tournament took place this weekend at Carson Park in Eau Claire. According to WQOW, one of the local competitors, Sarah Chafee of Chippewa Falls, is fresh off winning the World Tournament for the second year in a row, winning this year's with an undefeated 15-0 record. Alongside the tournament, Carson Park in Eau Claire also held a football game and a buckshot run. According to a WXOW report, a petition with over 200 signatures from Wisconsin child care providers was sent to state lawmakers, asking Republican legislators to abandon a set of child care-related bills proposed last week. The bills would loosen restrictions, potentially allowing workers as young as 16 years old to watch children unsupervised. People who signed on to the petition say the bills will actually decrease the child care workforce, decrease quality, and price out parents from having access to child care. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
Riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Live or whenever you want, from anywhere.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get you in order. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bob, what's in your mind today?
Well, they keep talking about Biden is too old. They got some ugly polls out and so forth. And it's obviously going according to the right-wing propaganda. But anybody with any common sense can see who the healthier person is, you know. and it's not 2:15. I think the president should have a baseball game on the South Lawn with a bunch of people exact same age as him and just play that out in front of people to show that, you know, 81-year-olds aren't over the hill or something like that, you know. And statistically, there's only a 13% chance somebody that age would die in a 4-year period.
Right.
So,
right.
He's 87% chance gonna survive right through it.
Let me back up what you're saying. That you raise an interesting point. Let me back up what you're saying. First of all, Joe Biden is incredibly fit. He was an athlete in high school. He was a star athlete, football player and all that. He's very, very fit. Secondly, and I'm going to say something that nobody will believe, but think about it. Each year, your life expectancy goes up. Each year, your life expectancy goes up because you've already made it to whatever you are and you go into the next one. And Bob is exactly right that actuarially, once you turn 80, and he will turn 80 in December. By the way, he's only 3.5 years older than Trump. I mean, Trump is no spring chicken. Trump is not in good shape. Trump is also crazy. He's crooked, but he's also crazy. And you can't tolerate another Trump administration with 4 years of crazy and crooked, and he's losing his marbles. Biden's not losing his marbles. He stuttered as a kid. He mastered it perfectly. So whether it's baseball, football, whatever it is, Joe Biden's in great shape. He really is in great shape. And right now, I mean, he's in much better shape than Trump. He's much more on the ball than Trump. And Trump is flat out crazy. Thank you very much, Bob. Chris of Sun Prairie, my friend. Thank you for calling. What's your mind today, Chris?
Hi. Well, I heard you talking about the Medicaid system, and I just thought it would be important to point out I worked for EDS, Electronic Data Systems, back when they were the fiscal agent for the state of Wisconsin's Medicaid system. And I was an information analyst, and when we used to win contracts from the federal government, when we got money sent to us from the federal government, we all celebrated, whether we were Republican, Democrat, Independent. Everybody celebrated. That was a win for the state. It was a win for the programs where people could get the benefits. It was a win for the state because it created jobs in the state. It was a win for the state because we had innovative programs that were developed. The Wisconsin Immunization Registry was developed from that program, and the Immunization Registry is now being used in states all across the country. So there are a lot of really great things that can come out of the money that comes back from the federal government. And also what you mentioned of us having to take that money out of state funds, that is money that's coming back from the federal government that we paid. So that's our money that Scott Walker turned away. Somebody else got that money. We just didn't get it. So I think people really need to be aware of that. And if I can weigh in on the second thing about age, I don't really think age is the issue here. I really think that we have a corruption problem here. Trump was corrupt, and he needs to go. And I think that President Biden should not really have to run on that. He should run on the fact that he's got to build back better. He needs to be pointing out what he's done in this country, because I really don't think that's getting down to the working people. And I really think that that needs to be pushed a whole lot more from the people that I've been talking to. And I'm trying to talk to people on the other side. They need to understand where those funds are coming from. And I think that would be very helpful, that people need to understand that Build Back Better is what is building things in this country right now.
That is a splendid call, Chris. That really is a splendid call. You just gave a synopsis of, I think, the truth of what the issue is here. Thank you for calling. And get back to the Medicaid question again, and you have expertise because you worked with one of the vendors to the provider, to the recipient of the money. Scott Walker turned down $1 billion. That happened in about more than seven MAGA red states. And all the governors said, we're not taking that kind of money because we're self-sufficient. Now, they're all lying. What it was the people that get Medicaid, they were afraid wouldn't vote for them. So they basically hurt poor people. What Scott Walker did, because he knew he couldn't get away with it totally in Wisconsin, he said, okay, I'm turning it down. We're going to pay off the national debt. He didn't pay off the national debt with it. That money went to California, Minnesota, and they said, oh, my God, well, this is a windfall. But then he turned around and billed the state of Wisconsin taxpayers, you and me, for much of that. And so what was the purpose of that? Do you understand something? a lot of states get, we get about the least federal money of any state in the union. The coastal states have Navy bases. They have space centers. You have the IRS in Ohio, you know, that kind of thing. What do we have? We get nothing. Now, we're self-sufficient, we're proud, but here, like every state, we were going to get, proportionate to our population, money to fund Medicaid. And this Republican governor turned it down. But he billed you again. So you paid the federal tax that then went on to Minnesota or California, and you paid it again. He turned down $50 million, I should say, in broadband for rural areas in the North. Everybody says the North needs broadband. I say it. Biden finally pushed it through. But before Biden, you know, when if you're in a small business up there and you don't have reliable internet, some cases you don't even have reliable cell phone service. And what's that all about? Why'd he turn that down? $50 million. He turned it down because he said, I'm a conservative. He's running for he ran for president in 2016, and he looked very strong in the polls for about a week till they got a good look at him. They got a good look at him in the debates, and he looked like the groom on the wedding cake, a plastic figure, and he dropped out. But he spent a lot of money, and all of what he did that hurt Wisconsin was to try to make him look like his idea of a, quote, conservative, end quote, so he could get Southern delegates. That's what it was. That is flat out what it was. And DeSantis is doing it now. Biden called him. He said, you got to take some disaster relief. And DeSantis said, well, yeah, if you insist, but I'm not taking any of that climate change money from the from soft infrastructure. No, sir. $300 million. I'm not taking that. These guys aren't conservatives. These guys aren't Americans. Go to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Thanks for your show. Thanks for taking my call. The first thing, you said it a long time ago, the Republicans can't handle money, and that's so true. There's a whole list of things. The train money, as far as that goes, we're paying from the Milwaukee to Chicago corridor, and that a lot of that would have been paid for if we'd taken the train money. So you're paying that again. Of course, there's the Medicaid money, and the list goes on and on. And then that's even compounded with laws hiring people like Gableman, and now the Republicans are going to use lawyers to fight gerrymandering. This all adds up to the taxpayer, and it's in the millions and millions of dollars, Matt. And I just wanted to mention one thing about religious folks. I love them. I go to church myself. But a lot of them are one-issue voters, abortion, and you can't talk to them. That doesn't make them bad people, but that's just the way it is. So you hit the nail on the head, as you say, Republicans cannot handle money. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. Before we go to the next, I just want to say, you know, on the issues and the money, that's exactly right. On the religious thing, I just want to say to everybody, we believe in the separation of church and state. I have enormous respect for people of all religious faiths. I don't question their motivations for doing anything. They're all good people. And that issue of separation of church and state, of having no established religion, this was passed by our founding fathers in the First Amendment. It is the most significant insight in political philosophy in the history of America, in the history of mankind, in the history of the world. It is the one thing that separates us from a lot of other countries. So just so we're clear, I see no correlation. I speak of no correlation between religion and political issues. People are all over the lot. But I appreciate your call, Paul. We're going further to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll take you in order. Jake of Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Jake?
Yeah, I just, you know, this is always my slogan for voting Republican, at least the last, 3 years maybe, is that if you want to be poor, you want to be less healthy, you want to be more uneducated, vote Republican. Because that is exactly what you're going to get. Because they no longer have common sense or use science or do any of the stuff or have any, you know, like personal morals or any of that stuff anymore. It's all gone. And so I just think that, you know, everyone should keep that in mind. And the single issue voters for abortion, you know, like how many people die from air pollution, right? It's like the worst thing in that kills most people on the planet and our country. So you guys, who you're anti-abortion people, you actually support people who kill more people, I mean, maybe inadvertently, than you actually save. So.
Yeah. No, Jake, thanks for calling in. As in regard to the first part of your call, there was a great saying we always used to use. If you want to live like a Republican, vote for a Democrat. That's but on the other stuff, to be very honest with you, I do not see or speak of a correlation between religion and any political issue. Religion separate. Under the First Amendment, separation of church and state, no established religion. I have no criticism of any religion, none whatsoever. I have great respect for all people who worship, and we talk about issues only. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, it's interesting. I see today that Clarence Thomas now plans on disclosing all the gifts he gets from all his all his rich buddies. And my point would make, and he's not honest like George Bailey's guardian angel. That was another Clarence. But Clarence Thomas, if he wants to be completely honest, maybe he should pay for his trips himself. Maybe he should pay for all his little vacations himself, rather than benefiting the way that hardly any other American actually does, by having a rich friend that pays for all his expenses and all his costs and all his little, you know, luxurious vacations and the tuition for, you know, his adopted, you know, quote unquote adopted son, and who knows however much money has been stuffed into his garter belt over the years that.
Mark, thanks for calling. I always appreciate your calls. Karina of Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Karina?
Hi. You know, I don't really agree with some of the callers saying, well, it is what it is, and this is just people who they are. No, this is not. They're working for a self-centered goals, whether it goes personally, that you want to raise your statue in the eyes of whoever for a future political advances, or you're doing it for your party because you want people to be so distracted with everyday problem that they don't come watch you debate like a swarm of hyenas, or they don't know what you're doing, or they don't care long time ago because the only thing they're thinking about is the surviving, what they're going to put on their table, how they're going to put for a rent. And
right.
all of it is very critical. And if you're going to look into actual statistics, and it's easy to see for with a Title 19, because you have to be qualified for a Title 19 and the base.
No, you're right, Karina. Thank you. Yeah, we have to go to a break. That's right. I mean, these people who are on food stamps or on Medicaid, they're human beings, and they should be provided that. That separates us from a lot of societies. Thank you for calling. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The ring of fire, the ring of fire, and it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For the rest of today, sunny and hot with temperatures in the upper 90s. For tonight, mostly clear with a low around 76. A few showers and thunderstorms possible Tuesday into Tuesday night after a high near 94 on your Tuesday. For Wednesday, showers and storms, cooler 67. Right now, 96 degrees.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want a quick talk about the 3rd Congressional District. There was a big announcement today. Two very fine Democrats who were candidates for that seat in the past have announced that they will not run again this time. There is a candidate, Rebecca Cook, that I've been quite impressed with, quite frankly. I think she's aggressive in a good way, kind of snappy and quick, very, very good, very, very good candidate. And I'll tell you what, there are several other candidates who are good Democrats who keep saying, we'll think of it and we're going to keep it open and all that. The truth of the matter is, the time is getting late. And not only that, some of them who are incumbents can't really make a decision until the maps are decided for 2024 and where they're going to be. And quite frankly, you can't wait that late. And the other one, very likely won't run. I think it's time to get behind Rebecca Cook. Van Orden is vulnerable. Van Orden is a strange guy. He's the guy who carried a loaded gun into a Iowa airport. He knew that was against the law. You know, the rules don't apply to him. He was leading a beer tour, I think he called it, of the Capitol, and he saw some interns who were in high school. These are teenagers lying down on the floor taking pictures of the dome. That's what you do when you take a picture of a dome. And he cursed them. He used the F word. He used the S word. And I was thinking of the man who shot Liberty Valance. And, you know, it'd be something like when Derek Van Orden came to town, the women all would hide. When Derek Van Orden came to town, the men would step aside. Because the point of a gun is the only law Van Orden understood. When it came to cursing little kids, he was mighty good. I'm not much of a singer. In fact, I'm virtually tone deaf. But, you know, the point is the guy's got to go. The guy's a hairball clogging the drain. I think Rebecca Cook would be a good candidate. So I don't live over there. A lot of friends over there. My nephew went to UW La Crosse. A lot of buddies over there. But the fact of the matter is that something's got to be done. Get this character out there. He's a hairball clogging the drain. Put in Rebecca Cook. Now, I want to tell you, we got a tip. And I like this when we get tips from callers. And this was by email or text. And it's really an atrocity that's happening down in North Carolina. There is a Supreme Court justice down there named Justice Earls, E-A-R-L-S, Anita Earls. She's the only black woman on the North Carolina Supreme Court. And this is unbelievable. And what she did was she spoke out publicly and she said, you know, we've got to improve things down here in North Carolina in the judicial system. She said about 80% of the lawyers that argue before a court are white, and 70% of them are male. And that's fine. I'm not into identity politics. But she said when an African-American lawyer or a female lawyer argues, they are interrupted. They're given much less respect by the court than other lawyers are. And she said, even I'm a justice on the Supreme Court, a black woman, and I'm interrupted by junior colleagues and even by lawyers. They interrupt her. Now, this is a fairly benign statement of hers. I mean, she said it in good faith. And, you know, let's just kind of change our attitude here. I thought it was very, very, very done. Well done. But here's the deal. Let me tell you something. I've tried cases for a long time. I've had a number of oral arguments in the Wisconsin Supreme Court and in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, and frankly, in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And I've appeared in court in Fresno, California, and a lot of other places. I got to tell you something. If you're a lawyer, you don't interrupt the Supreme Court justice. They say their mind. They ask you the question. It may be a dumb question in your mind. It may ignore some facts. You sit there and show respect. And then when the justice is done, you might say something, Your Honor, with all respect, you said that such and such, but in Mr. Jones's testimony in the record, he said it differently. And Your Honor, I think that the way you put it is not in the record. That's the kind of thing you do. You don't interrupt her. So she didn't discipline anybody. She just comes out and says this. Believe it or not, the North Carolina Supreme Court has not started an investigation of her before their Judicial Standards Commission. And the thing is, in North Carolina, under their law, you can't just start an investigation. There has to be a serious allegation and facts to support some sort of misconduct. So she said, what is the misconduct? I just said flat out, what is true? What is factually true? And they sort of chuckle and they go, well, you know, we'll find that out. We'll find that out. She sues. She's right now a plaintiff in federal court to stop them from doing that. Now, let's get down in the weeds on a little bit of procedure here. It's true that on many things, federal courts take preeminence. But federal courts really don't like to try to show their power over state courts. It's just not right, and there's a lot of authority that says they shouldn't do it. It is true that the U.S. Supreme Court, which is a federal court, is the avenue where all appeals can end up, state and federal, yes. But you don't normally, and you shouldn't, have federal courts going in and shutting down state proceedings. I personally think, just analytically looking at this, that a federal court is very unlikely. I think it would be wrong for them to say a state Supreme Court can't, you know, apply its laws and its investigations. And if they're wrong and if they're discriminatory, then you appeal that on up to the U.S. Supreme Court. But I support her 100%. I think it is outrageous, outrageous that a state Supreme Court, and this was generated by their Chief Justice, who's a real piece of work. He's a real piece of work, who says, look, I'm telling you what the conduct is. There are apparently no black law clerks for this term. I don't know if that's true, but that was what was alleged. There are very, very few female and African-American lawyers that appear before us relative to everybody else. And again, I'm not into identity politics. I frequently rail against the identity politics cult that's taking over our party. But that is a legitimate thing for her to say. She has a First Amendment right to say it. She's a Supreme Court justice. She has a good reputation. And the response should have been, well, thank you for bringing that to our attention. We're going to look into it. We're going to look into the causes. But no, what do? They investigate her for misconduct under their Judicial Standards Commission. That's retaliatory. That's wrong. Very, very wrong. I'm very grateful to our caller who we don't use last names, Mary. Thank you very much for sending that story in. And I think we got to pay attention to that. This kind of thing is bubbling up all around the country now. It's bubbling up in Florida and a lot of other places. And we've got to put a stop to it. And one way to put a stop to it is reelect Joe Biden. Don't let Trump in there. Okay, we're coming to the end of the show. Great show as always. Great callers. Matt Flynn Direct will be back. Not same time. I'm going to be doing Devil's Advocate tomorrow from 4 to 6. And I'm signing off for today.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.